It's always good to be at Old South and to be at this sacred desk. I come in and out a lot doing a variety of different things, but to have the opportunity to bring a word this morning is wonderful, and it's a humbling experience, and it's just good to be here in 2016, right? Just checking. Things went fast last year. And you will hear more about the work of City Mission, name change. It's no longer City Mission Society, City Mission / Boston, a little later on. But I'm so grateful to, I think we have a board member or two here, Brad. Hi. And many others who have been part of the work and the ministry. So let us get ready for the preach word. Let us pray. Oh God, make this time and place good, O Lord, when heaven and earth become one, and we in word and flesh know ourselves beloved. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're going to encounter a wild, woolly prophet today. And maybe from your time in Sunday school or wherever, you might have heard of this guy. His name is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is a guy. He's preaching down at the River Jordan. And in many circles, we call him the one sermon prophet. That means he preaches the same thing over and over and over again. Now, this is not a bad thing, because he's got a very important message. And that message in his sermon is to repent, be baptized, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John says, while I baptize you with water, which symbolizes repentance, the one that is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. You see, in John's time, the people of Israel are looking for a Messiah, looking for someone to deliver them, as Martin Luther King would say, from the iron foot of oppression. They are tired of living under systems of domination. So I would suspect they've also read from the scripture when Isaiah says that one will come to make crooked paths straight and rough places plain, that valleys will be lifted up. Luke's account of the Messiah arriving is quiet and very unassuming. In the scripture, we see that Jesus is baptized along with everybody else who goes down to the Jordan. But then we come to this moment in the text, which is very powerful, and we hear the words, "Beloved, you are my son, in whom I am well pleased." This voice of God that comes from heaven proclaims, as the baptismal waters just roll off of Jesus' body, "You are my beloved." The voice names Jesus as Jesus is beginning to prepare for his public ministry, God's beloved. And every now and then, and I think it's a lot, God smiles. Amen? Now, don't make me I had to do this at the 9 o'clock service. I had to remind people that I'm African American, right? And we need a little, you know, amen every now and then. If you feel so moved, amen? Amen. We can do this, folks. You're my people, okay? I've been hanging around here a little while, so help me out, okay? Okay. So God, thank you. The beloved voice from God. God smiles, and the heaven opens up, and the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove. Beloved is spoken so lovingly and tenderly that it permeates all of Jesus' entire ministry. Beloved, Jesus would name those that he came in contact with. Remember the woman at the well? Remember the people that he ran into that were lepers? Remember the people that were at the gates of the city? Remember those that were in the synagogues? People that were desperate and thirsty for healing, for inclusion, and for wholeness, and for hope. Beloved, beloved echoes through the ages, and it echoes your name and my name today as we are drenched in the waters of baptism. Beloved, child of God. Now, I've come to understand a few things. I've hit a few, milestone birthdays. In the final analysis of all the things that I have learned and many more to learn, I believe that it is not, in the final analysis, a body of doctrine or correct theological beliefs or obedient and blameless actions that make a difference in Christianity. Rather, it is to be God's beloved. You see, to be God's beloved is to enter into a relationship with God that spills out over all corners of our life. And it spills out to our family. It spills out to our friends, our relationships on the job. It spills out everywhere. It spills out at church. It spills out to all people. It spills out to all of creation. To be God's beloved is to live from the inside out. I love it when our pastor, Reverend Dr. Nancy Taylor, talks about the fact that we're all wrapped in different colors. But oftentimes, people react to what is on the outside of us, as opposed to looking at what is on the inside. That's what I'm talking about, is that we have to be and feel so beloved that we have to live from that core place, the inside. So to understand yourself, to be beloved, is to know that you are chosen and called by God continually. It's an ongoing process. And it is not to walk with arrogance and pride, but to walk with humility and understanding that God's grace is sufficient for everything. That it's nothing that we earn, but it is something that is given freely. And you see, the more that we live into this and accept God's love in our hearts and the blessings of our lives, the more that we live in a way that others around us come to see themselves as God's beloved. Last year, October 8th, 2014, the bridge connecting Long Island to the mainland was closed due to safety reasons and that were the result of deferred repairs. The shutdown of Long Island created and wreaked havoc for about 800 people that were there at the Long Island shelter, but also people that were engaged in recovery programs. It didn't appear to us as faith leaders in Boston that there was a plan in place or a place to rehouse folks. But Old South Church, we opened our doors and hosted a day warm center to give people a little reprieve from the coldest winter on record. And I would venture to say, from the staff and the people that worked in the day warm center day in and day out, they listened to people's stories. They prayed with people. They broke bread with people. They kept people safe. They treated people with respect. And I would believe that we could recount stories of how our guests over the course of time begin to say, I think I can make better choices now. I think I can see some new possibilities for my life. I think that in sharing my story and speaking up about my experiences, my life is starting to come back to me. I think that in feeling good about myself, I can begin to advocate for other homeless people, God's beautiful children, beautiful to behold. At the closing celebration, we thought people would ooh and ah about the socks and the food and the new hoodies. But you know what people said they really appreciated? The one thing they said they appreciated was the fact that they were treated like human beings. You see, once we deeply trust that we are precious in God's eyes, we're able to recognize the preciousness of others and the unique place that each of us have in God's heart. That's why God smiles. And that we're able to walk with this Jesus Christ. In 2004, I don't know how I got into this thing, but all I knew, I was going to a meeting. And before I knew it, I was co-leading a pilgrimage, a civil rights pilgrimage, a pilgrimage that we called the Pilgrimage of Faith and Courage. We took our northern ears to some of the most critical places of the civil rights movement in the Deep South. And we were a peculiar-looking combination of God's children. There was a lesbian couple who feared going down south. There were four white women, four African-American women, and one white man. So people looked at us like we were like, you know, where are they coming from? Where is that man going with all those women? But nevertheless, I said it, we're God's peculiar group. It was a beautiful experience of 8 days. We went to Mississippi, we went to Atlanta, we went to Memphis, we went to Selma, we went to Montgomery, and we ended up in Birmingham, Alabama on a Wednesday morning. And it became clear as to why we were there in Birmingham at this Baptist church. We were there to hear how people resisted racism and how their lives had been transformed. You see, we went to this small little medium-sized church in downtown Alabama, and we arrived to a warm greeting. Everybody greeted us warmly, because I think they wanted to see what we were really about. We were greeted warmly, and we had a serious Southern breakfast. Now, you know what that is. Huh? I'm hearing from the choir. What did you say? Grits. Grits, right? It's grits and a little ham, a little tofu, maybe fried. You know, and the eggs. So we had this serious Southern breakfast, and then we started to hear the story of how the Covenant Baptist Church was formed in the 70s with two rubber bands and a paperclip. They realized that as things were changing around them, as their world was changing in Birmingham, they began to realize that the church that they had been in for years, they had grown up in, was not doing what was right. You see, the church would not allow blacks to, the blacks could attend church service, but they would not extend the right hand of fellowship to black people. It was okay to come, but don't participate in God's work here. So they formed a new church. And as they began to tell us stories about death threats, cars following them home when they finished their meetings, the lack of support from the local police department. One woman says she kept a cowbell by her bed, so when the phone would ring with threats, she would just ring that bell as loud as she could. No one got hurt, but people felt intimidated for sure. And they remembered being called everything but a child of God. We listened to these sacred stories for a while, and our conversation turned to lament as people shared about losing friends and family members who said they would stay in the other church. They talked about how their ministry even today struggles with ministering to victims of injustice rather than conforming the systems that enable people to be victims. Someone said that dismantling racism and white privilege is frightening and freeing at the same time. It's to lose and to gain, which is what God is constantly calling us to. So being that we're in a Baptist church and people like to sing, someone called up a hymn, or raised up a hymn, as they would say in the black church. And that basically means you start to stomp your foot and you start to pat your hand on your side and you start to sing. This person sang the words to a song which is called Yes, God is Real. Yes, God is real, real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for God has washed and made me whole. God's love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, real in my soul, because I can feel God deep in my soul. And then they finished singing and said, when you see God's beauty in another person's face, that's when you know God is real. Amen. Amen. Beloved, beautiful children of God, if we embrace this truth that we are indeed God's beloved, I believe that with God's help, we can create a community and a world that honors the diversity in each and every person, regardless of what that is. Desmond Tutu said that in recognizing our sisters and our brothers, and in recognizing our sisters and brothers in each other, the world's ugliness and poverty and pain and squalor, inhospitality and greed and harsh competitiveness and alienation and discord will change into their glorious counterparts. Love, laughter, joy, justice, goodness, mercy, compassion, caring, and sharing. It was even a prophet who said that when we beat our plowsheds into spears, we will study war no more. So the good news this morning is that God gives us the grace to live into our baptism for the rest of our lives. God's love is like pure gold, is it not? Beloved children of God, beautiful to behold. God's beloved. Let us pray with our eyes open today so we can see one another. This is a prayer for starting the new calendar year. May the waters of our baptism so cling to us that in their depths we see who we are. From our depths, reflect to others their true name, God's beloved, precious child of God, beautiful, beautiful to behold. May God help us live knee deep in grace and keep our hearts alive to our truest name, God's beloved sisters and daughters, beautiful, beautiful. You look beautiful. You are beautiful to behold. Amen.